I know Steve Thomas since 1982. He came here in October 1982, and it's interesting today speaking on spiritual gifts, because in 1982, when they came as a team of 10 people, they laid hands on many people, and some of them began to speak in tongues. I was one of them. So, so I'm glad to have him again, and I trust that anyone else who is longing for that, today we pray that God will help us to be opened up in one spiritual gift or another. In 1990, we had a leaders' conference in Bombay, because I kept going to UK for various leaders' conferences. I enjoyed them very much. I thought all our leaders must go to that conference. It was not possible for all of us to go there, so I brought them here. So we had the leaders' conference in Bharuch, 1990. At that time, Steve was there as well as Roger Call was there. And then again, we moved in the dimension of spiritual gifts, which was instrumental. And since then, some people began to move significantly in that dimension of spiritual gifts, particularly word of knowledge. And so both of them have come again. We are happy to have them here. Yesterday, Steve told us he has 5 children and 5 grandchildren, and 3 of his children are married. Mine only one has got married, my one daughter. 2 more to go, but one has married. And so he also got 2 left to do that. And those work that is going on in UK and in Europe has now been assigned to Steve to oversee. So he oversees all the churches that are planted under Salt and Light in Europe as well as in UK in particular. So it is known as an interesting name. It's called EAT, European Apostolic Team. So and so he oversees that. And they have an apostolic team that was there. Is it still existing? It's there. That's going on. And I've had the privilege to be there 1 or 2 times accidentally, and so I joined them and enjoyed myself as they had some discussions and board meetings, whatever that is. We're glad they're here. The rough program for today would be whenever he tells us to have a break, we'll have a break. And and approximately around 1:30 or so, we will break for lunch. And there are several restaurants nearby, and you can have your lunch and come back. If you brought your lunch box with you, you can have it right in this hall. You know the wash basins and toilet bathrooms are in this place. An hour later, we'll regather here after lunch break, and then tea will be served around 3:30, 4 o'clock, again when they give us the signal. And so we hope to go around approximately till 5. And if the Lord moves in a different way, then our timing is submitted to Him. And so let's see what else. Let's just welcome them in the name of the Lord.
Hello there, I'm Roger, and I'm from Henley-on-Thames, pastor of a Baptist church there, and this is my second time here. It's just nice to come down the road there, and as I remember it, 15 years ago. So, I mean, I haven't changed at all, except for a little bit of a hair, yeah, less of it. Steve said, have you got any words for anybody here, Roger, rather than Steve speaking first? So I said, well, I have actually, and so what I'm going to do is just read out a list of, I think it's 6 words of knowledge. And then if you are one of these, why don't we pray for you at the start of the time together? And like Jesus, he did miracles and then he spoke. And it's good to get it that way around sometimes. So here we go. I believe more than one person came with renal problems. I just had that word, renal problems, and I'm assuming that's to do with waterworks, kidney and waterworks. And if you've come like that or had difficulty there, I believe the Lord wants to come in power and release something of healing to you. That's one. Secondly, somebody had come this morning with pain down their jaw, and I think it's your left-hand side. I know I'm pointing to my right, but it's down the left-hand side of your jaw down here. There's pain down there. And I think it goes up into your gums as well, and you've been struggling with it. Third one was somebody had come this morning, and you're suffering a little bit from some stresses in your home situation, and all around the top of your stomach there, it's all tight, and there's pain that goes down here, and I believe the Lord wants to heal that one. Somebody else is suffering right down your neck here as if you've twisted your neck slightly, and there's pain down here that the Lord wants to heal. And then I had a picture of somebody else who'd walked through a sort of time of bit of depression like this. You'd gone downhill, and then you've lifted out of it, but even just this last week, you fear that you're sinking again. The Lord wants to come to you and bring reassurance to you today that He's going to carry you through, that you're not going to sink low, that He's going to carry you. And the last one is somebody right across their back, all across your back here, down your back, you've got some sort of skin reaction, and it's like an irritation on your skin. And again, the Lord wants to heal. Now, what I think we'll do, if you're one of those words of knowledge, could you, and that describes your situation, could you put up your hand even now? That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. That is brilliant. Why don't all those people, if you could, come out to the front here and we'll make two groups and have a real good pray. And Stanley, could you draw some people out as well to help in the praying? And we're going to pray for those people right away and see God touch them. That would be great if you could come straight out. Thanks.
What we want to do today is I'm going to teach before lunch on living in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. So that's basically what I want to teach on. And then after lunch, Roger's going to lead some workshops on how practically we can move in gifts of the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're up to today, just so that you know where we're going. Time scales might be a little bit varied, as Stanley has indicated, but we'll see how we get on. I want to start in Galatians chapter 3, if I can, this morning, because this is the burden of our hearts this week. As we come here, we're going on from Mumbai here to Kerala through this week, and we're going to be teaching some of the same things at a pastor's conference down there. But the burden of our hearts is really to do with the life of the Holy Spirit. And this not being some extra blessing that Pentecostals enjoy, but absolutely essential to living the life of God today. That's really what we're after, and that's what we want to try and share about today. So, Galatians chapter 3 starts like this. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing. Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? You foolish Galatians, after beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? It is possible for us to begin our Christian lives in the power of the Holy Spirit by receiving a gift of God's grace, by receiving the life that God has given to us, and then to live by human effort. Paul's very, very clear about that. And he's saying that this is an awful mixture. Right? It's going back to the sort of self-centered, self-striving life that they used to live before. And it's possible for Christians to live life by human effort, so that we fast and we pray and we do good works and we try and be good and we try and behave well and all these sort of things that we all know are very good and very important for us. But if we're not careful, It becomes human effort, willpower, rather than a gift of God that we receive and that we live in. It becomes hard work rather than a gift that we receive from God. Now, who senses that danger in their lives? Yeah, okay. I sense that danger in my life. My father, who was not a Christian until very late in his life, my father taught me the importance of hard work. He was a businessman. He used to hate it when people said to him, "Haven't you been lucky?" And he used to say to them, "This business has nothing to do with luck. It has to do with very hard work." And he taught me about hard work. But if I'm not careful, I can live my Christian life by hard work as well. So what I want to try and do this morning is to just lay a foundation and to remind us, if I can, about the role and the person of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to go step by step. I'm going to go blow by blow, because I want us to get this very, very clear, that we can do nothing in self-effort. We can do nothing by depending on human energy and human flesh, but only by what we receive from the Spirit of God. That's where we're going today. So when we get into this afternoon and we start thinking about how we can move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we understand that this is the only thing that gives us life. We need to live in that dimension all the time. It's not an optional extra. That's where we need to live. That's what we're trying to say today. Okay? So let's start then with the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand, first of all, I want us all to understand that the Holy Spirit was there right at the beginning in creation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Right at the beginning of the book. "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." The Holy Spirit is right there on day one of the world in creation. He is a creative Holy Spirit. He is at work doing what God is doing. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life," or the spirit of life, "and the man became a living being." Psalm 104, verse 30. This is all about God's provision for his people. And the psalmist says, verse 27, "These people all look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they're satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they're terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created. And you renew the face of the earth." And even more powerfully in Job chapter 34. Just turn back to Job chapter 34, verse 14. "If it were God's intention, and he withdrew his spirit and his breath, all mankind would perish together, and man would return to the dust." That's a very, very strong statement, that all of life is held together and sustained by the Holy Spirit, by God breathing his life into people. And if he decided to withhold his spirit, it would all fall into non-being. Right? The Holy Spirit is here all the time. He is the one who keeps everything going. His life is absolutely vital to everything that we are. And, of course, we understand that the Holy Spirit is central to new birth and new creation. And that comes to us in John chapter 3, where Jesus himself is talking about this life and gift of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 3. Flesh gives birth to flesh, he says in verse 6, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again from above. What Jesus is saying to these people is there's natural birth and the spiritual birth. If you want life from God, you have to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's all about the power and the life and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is present in creation. I'm going backwards instead of forwards. Right, the Holy Spirit is also there to enable and empower. To enable and to empower. Right the way throughout the Old Testament, he is seen as an empowering Holy Spirit. So look at Numbers chapter 27, for example. Verse 15, Moses said to the Lord, may the Lord, the God of the spirits of all mankind, appoint a man over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so that the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. It's interesting that that phrase is something that Jesus takes up to describe the people of his day, that he saw them like sheep without a shepherd. And Moses prays that God's people would not be like sheep without a shepherd. So the Lord said to Moses, verse 18, take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Joshua's one who was recognized as having the Spirit of God. So Moses lays his hands on him and appoints him leader for God's people. It's the Holy Spirit who gives Joshua the power to lead God's people. Look at the story of Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 11. There are many places we could look here, but just look at this one. 1 Samuel chapter 11. Actually, we'll read 1 Samuel chapter 10. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, has not the Lord anointed you leader over his inheritance? So Samuel is anointing Saul as leader, and he says in verse 5, after that, after you've done certain things, you will go to Gibeah of God, where there is a Philistine outpost. As you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place with lyres, tambourines, flutes, and harps being played before them, and they will be prophesying. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. This is the empowering of God coming upon Saul to enable him to be king of God's people. Actually, this is a fascinating story. Let me just stop and talk about it a little bit. Because it basically tells us that the life of God and the Holy Spirit of God is catching. If you're in the right place and the right time, you can catch the power and life of the Holy Spirit. And we're praying that today we'll catch a bit more of the life and power of the Holy Spirit. Right? So that we are increasingly empowered to live the life of God. Because you may have been born again and you may have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but there's always more of the life of God to experience. One of the fascinating things about this story is, who were these prophets and what were they doing? There are two words used in the Old Testament for prophets. The first word is the word that's often translated seer. A prophet is a seer. He sees visions. He sees pictures. So God says to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, what do you see? And he says, I see a pot boiling over from the north. And he says, I see that the Assyrians are going to invade from the north. This was something that he saw. So the first word for a prophet in the Old Testament is the word seer. Prophets are people who have visions. But there is another word for prophet in the Old Testament. It's the word Navi. It's a very difficult word to translate, but it's the same word that is used of a spring of water bubbling up. And the Navi is someone who bubbles up with the life of God. So these prophets were singing. They had their instruments, Charles. They had their instruments, their lyres and their guitars and their, and what they're doing is they're singing and praising God, and they're allowing the life of God to bubble up inside of them. Isn't that interesting? Jesus says in John chapter 7, is anyone thirsty? If anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink, for out of his inmost being will bubble up rivers of living water. Right? In other words, every single one of God's people who receives the Holy Spirit is a bubbler upper of a life, of the life of God. We're all supposed to bubble with that life. And I like that sort of image, don't you, of the bubbling up life of God. Out it comes, here it comes. It's right in your belly, it's right in your innermost being. It's the power and the life of the Holy Spirit, and it bubbles up here, and it tells you you're a real Christian. And you know it in your knower. Right? You don't know it in your head. Right? You know it in your spirit. Right? Moses prayed. He said to the Father, Father, you're the Father of all the spirits of men. Please appoint someone who's filled with your spirit. So, am I speaking another language, or are you understanding what I'm saying? This is very, very important. We don't know God in our heads. We know God in our spirits. He puts the Holy Spirit within us so that His life bubbles up, and we know in our knower that we're children of God. Something is called the Holy Spirit says you're a son. You're a daughter. You can cry, Abba. Abba, Father. And Abba is the simplest tongue that we can express to God, isn't it? It's this simplicity of knowing that we belong to Him. See, we spend days, months, years sitting learning stuff, don't we? We learn the Bible and all the rest of it, but God wants to put something very simple at our disposal. It's the Holy Spirit, so that we know in our knower that we're children of God. And we just feel, yes, we belong to Him. This is not complicated. This is very, very simple. Amen? Yeah. All right. And we just know. And something within us says, Abba, Father. I can remember going to Israel a few years ago. Actually, I had my honeymoon in Israel. And I remember sitting in a restaurant in a hotel in Israel, and this little child comes running across from one side of the restaurant to his parents on the other side and shouts, Abba, 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 until he got to his dad at the table. And I thought, that's it. This is the simplest tongue that we have. Abba, 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 Abba. Yes? Right? So this life of the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential. Right? Because it's the Holy Spirit who tells us inside, as it says in Romans chapter 8, that we are children of God. And by the Holy Spirit we cry out, Abba. I've got a little bit ahead of myself here because it's got nothing to do with enabling or empowering, but let's see. Inspiration. This is obvious in many places. The Holy Spirit comes upon God's people to inspire them. So, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, for example. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 18. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, chief of the 30, and he said, "We are yours, O David. We are with you, O son of Jesse. Success, success to you and success to those who help you, for your God will help you." God's inspiration, the Holy Spirit is the one who inspires God's people with all sorts of utterances. This was an utterance of loyalty. Other times he comes upon the prophets to inspire them with God's word. The Holy Spirit is the one who breathes in. That's what inspiration means. He breathes into us his life and his word and his authority. Ezekiel talks about that often. The Holy Spirit is the one who comes to, I keep going backwards, we'll get it right one day, to change us. This again is 1 Samuel chapter 9 verse 10. It says, "The Holy Spirit came upon Saul and he was changed into a different person." If we want to be different people, if we want to be godly people, we don't do that by self-effort. We don't do that by obeying rules. We don't do it by trying to be good. We do it by spending more time with the Holy Spirit. It's about being close to God, the Holy Spirit, and letting Him breathe into us so that His life bubbles up and we are changed from inside. That's the role of the Holy Spirit, to change us inside. He wants to change us. Right? God wants to change us. He wants us to be different. He wants us to be filled with His life. But the Holy Spirit is the one who changes us from inside. Okay, and in the Old Testament, we have a huge expectation that comes on God's people of not only a visitation of the Holy Spirit, but of the Holy Spirit coming and changing the world. I want to talk about this expectation because it's very, very important. Because I want us to understand. I really want us to understand this, that when Jesus came, He came to pay the price for sin. We understand that. He came to bring us forgiveness from the Father. We understand that. He came to pay the penalty on the cross. We understand that. But He came to start a whole new age of the Holy Spirit. Of the Holy Spirit actually residing with us, dwelling with us. Jesus came to start a new age of the Spirit. And that's what I want us to, because I feel far too few Christians really understand this. They understand the death of Christ, but they don't understand that we're in a new age of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit wants to help us live the life of God. So I want to talk about this expectation for a moment. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 11. "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Now, the first thing that people in the Old Testament started to look forward to was the coming of a man who would be anointed with the Spirit. That's what the word Messiah means. A Messiah is an anointed one. So they started to look forward to a day, because they recognized, see, that the people of God recognized that their history was pretty bad news. They kept going up and down, and up and down. They were God's people, called to be God's people. They were given God's law, but they never quite obeyed it. They had to have these sacrifices to atone for their sin. Every year they would have days of atonement and days of trying to gain forgiveness from God and all the rest of it. And it was effective in the short term. But these, because they kept failing, they had to keep repeating these sacrifices year after year after year. And it was a pretty miserable sort of life that they lived, really. And their history was one of going up and down. So there were revivals, like there was a revival under King Josiah, and there was a revival under King Hezekiah, and there were times of visitation of God, but other times they backslid and they went their own way. And they started to see that unless God visited them through a man anointed by the Spirit, they were not going to change. And so they started to get a vision and to expect the Messiah, an anointed one, to come. That's what they looked forward to. And here he's talked about in Isaiah chapter 11, or in Isaiah 61, which is a famous passage which we all know, where prophetically this Messiah says this: "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God." Isaiah begins to prophesy about the coming of the Messiah, the servant of the Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit, who would change their history forever. He's looking forward to that. So there's this expectation of the Messiah to come. And you remember in Luke chapter 4, Jesus reads this passage in the synagogue, and he says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled right before your eyes. I'm the one. I'm the Messiah. I'm the one filled with the Holy Spirit. I've come to set people free." So they started to look forward to this man anointed by the Spirit. But they recognized that they needed something more than that. That not only would the one man come who was filled with the Holy Spirit, but if God was going to do something deep in the heart of the nation, he needed to pour out his Holy Spirit on everyone. Everyone needed to receive his Spirit. So there was an expectation not just of the Messiah to come, but that there was going to be a coming visitation of the Holy Spirit. So, for instance, in Ezekiel chapter 36, see, the prophet started to realize that God needed to do something totally new in the life of the nation. That what you didn't want was just a sort of sticking plaster. You know, let's just, you know, heal this temporally. Right? That wasn't good enough. They've been doing that year after year. All the sacrifices, all the rest of it, had only been like a sticking plaster on the life of the nation. They needed a whole new work of the Holy Spirit. They needed the Messiah, the man anointed by the Spirit, to come and to lead the people into something new. But they also needed a visitation of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of the people. So in Ezekiel chapter 36, we get in verse 26, for example, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. So God's promising something wholly new, a visitation of the Holy Spirit that would change people from the inside out. In many English churches, which are often older than this building even, they put the Ten Commandments on the front wall. They're engraved in stone. And you go into these churches and you kneel down and you pray, and then you open your eyes and you see the Ten Commandments in front of you. This happens in a lot of churches. You open your eyes and you see these Ten Commandments and you think, I can't do that. All it impresses you with is a sense of failure. Every time you look at these Ten Commandments, there they are engraved in stone on the front. It's the law out there in stone. What God is promising through Ezekiel is the law written in here, in our hearts. So it's not something that says, you will not commit adultery, you will not covet your neighbor's stuff, you will not. Something inside you says, you will not. Your motivation is totally different. The law of God is written in our hearts. This is what Ezekiel sees, a whole new visitation of the Holy Spirit that starts working from the inside out. Not from the outside in, but from the inside out. This is who the Holy Spirit is. And as the people of the Old Testament looked around, and the prophets especially looked around, they saw what a mess this backslidden nation was. They looked forward to this day when the Messiah, filled with the Holy Spirit, would come, and when the people filled with the Holy Spirit would be totally transformed. That's what Jesus came to do for us. He came not just to die on the cross and to pay your penalty and mine. He did come to do that. That's very, very important. But he came to start a whole new era of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We need to understand this deep down so that we understand that the power and presence of the Holy Spirit is not, you know, an extra bless me type thing, but is essential to the life that we live in God. We need to keep close to the Holy Spirit. So, that takes us into the New Testament. That was the expectation. Let's keep going forward, shall we? Oh, so the expectation, there you are, it's all there. The expectation was a Messiah anointed by the Spirit and a people anointed by the Spirit. Let's just turn to Joel chapter 2, because that's quite exciting. Joel sees it very, very clearly. Can you find it? It's before Amos, Micah, all those others. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And afterwards, at the last time, in the last days, Joel prophesies, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, not just on one or two. The thing about the Old Testament was that the Holy Spirit was just poured out on a handful of people. So you get some of these judges, Samson or Gideon. And the Holy Spirit comes upon them to do a particular task at a certain time. And what the prophets begin to see is that God is going to come and he's going to pour out his Spirit on everyone, not just a handful of people, not just to enable people for particular tasks, but to enable all of God's people to know him and to live in his presence and his power. And afterwards he says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your sons and daughters will live the bubbling up life of God. Every one of them will have the bubbling up life of God. That's what this prophesy means. It's not just talking about people saying, thus says the Lord, you know, I will do this or I will do that. It's not just about those sort of prophecies. It's about the bubbling up life of God. Your sons and your daughters, it says, all of your people will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women. This was new. This was for the women too, not just the men, not just the special servants. This was for everybody. Right? On both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. So Joel starts to see this whole new age of the Holy Spirit. Which is why when Jesus comes in the New Testament, I'm going backwards again. When Jesus comes, we start to see the air crackling with the Holy Spirit, if I can put it that way. Right? In other words, now there's angels and birth and babies and babies leaping in the womb and babies recognizing one another. John the Baptist recognizes Jesus in the womb and kicks Elizabeth and sort of says, you know. We start to have prophecies, Anna and Simeon in the temple, people who've been waiting for this new age of the Spirit, suddenly start to say, now, it's here. Now has come this visitation of God. This is powerful stuff, and you get the air. The air is really crackling with the Holy Spirit. All sorts of stuff is happening as Jesus comes. There's a flurry of the activity of the Holy Spirit. You've got Gabriel turning up here now. You've got miracles happening. Where are we? At the baptism of Jesus, the heavens open and the Holy Spirit comes down. As much as to say, here I am, I'm on this man. He is the one anointed. He is the Messiah. It's all about the Holy Spirit. John points to him and says, I baptize in water, but he will baptize in the Holy Spirit. Now, the word for baptism in Greek is taken from the cloth dyeing industry. It's about dyeing people in the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've ever tried to dye cloth. Have you ever tried to do that? We've tried to do that in our house occasionally. You take a garment or something, you take a piece of clothing and you get some dye and you put it in a pan and you boil it up in the pan and you lift it up out the pan and this garment looks patchy. It's not properly dyed. So you stuck it back in the pan and you poke it around with your spoon or wooden spoon or whatever it is, you know, and you poke it around in order to get the whole garment absolutely filled with this new color. Have you ever tried to do that? Some of you are nodding, and obviously some of you haven't. Okay, all right. But you try and get the whole thing. Now, what John the Baptist is saying is, I baptize, I get people immersed in water, but God wants to get people immersed in the Holy Spirit. Just like that. Now, I'll tell you what happens sometimes is that God, the Holy Spirit, comes on Jonah. And then he lifts him up and he looks patchy. He's not quite as godly as he should be. And do you know what he needs if he's not quite as godly as he should be? He needs to be immersed again. He needs to be dyed a bit more. He needs to be baptized a bit more. So let's shove him back down in the Holy Spirit. This is why you and I need to spend time in the presence of God, right, in order that we can be more like Him. And if we're not careful, we spend 2 minutes of the presence of God and then we go out and live life in the world and we get immersed in the world, but we're not immersed in the Spirit. What God wants us to do is to spend a little bit more time immersing ourselves in the presence of God, getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because John baptized with water, but Jesus wants to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. Now, baptism in the Holy Spirit is not a one-off event. Some of us have been prayed for to be filled with the Holy Spirit. By the way, the New Testament uses lots of different phrases for being baptized, being filled, the Holy Spirit coming on people, the Holy Spirit coming down on people. There's lots of different phrases that are used. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, as you well know, go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is something that we have to keep on doing. Actually, it's very interesting. Because in Acts chapter 2, we read the story of the church being baptized. Now, I'm running ahead of myself. I'm not doing this in a very orderly way, but if you get an anointing, you have to go with it, right? In Acts chapter 2, it talks about the church being baptized in the Holy Spirit. 9 o'clock in the morning, they come down from this upper room drunk in the Holy Spirit. A few years ago, I used to live 2 doors away from our local pub. Do you know what a pub is? Public house? Drinking house? I lived in this village, but I lived 2 doors away from the local pub. Often at night time, people used to come out of the pub. They had a few drinks. And they were happy. They were released. I remember one night, a group of young people came out and they stood in the middle of this village that we lived in, right in the middle of the square, the village square. They had a guitar and they sang lots of pop songs at the top of their voices. Right, because they'd had a bit to drink, they were nice and relaxed, and they sang at the top of their voices. And it was quite good. My wife and I, we stood in our house, and we listened, the window was open, and we could hear all the songs. It was quite good. Right, because they'd had a bit to drink. The day of Pentecost looked a little bit like that. People weren't all serious. They had been filled with the Holy Spirit. They understood that God was their Father and this new age of the Holy Spirit had started. And what they dreamed of, and what the prophets had prophesied and spoken, it was actually happening. And they were so excited. They came down from that upper room and they sang at the top of their voices. Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. 30 years later, the Apostle Paul says to the Ephesians, he says, don't be drunk with wine, but go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit makes you feel nice and released and relaxed. And
oh, yeah.
And joyful. unhappy and trusting in God. Because the thing you realize when you're filled with the Holy Spirit is God's around. And you don't need to strive, and you don't need to struggle, and you don't need to work hard. God will do what He'll do because that's what He's come for. He's around. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't get anxious. Right? Because you know that God's around. And He's going to do everything He said He would do. Amen? And I suppose what we're wanting to encourage today is just to come back a little bit to this life of the Holy Spirit. Let the life bubble up again. Because sometimes the Christian life gets pretty hard work, doesn't it? Who can feel that the Christian life is hard work sometimes? Oh, yeah, okay. We're talking to the right people. We're talking to the right people, Roger. We can feel that the Christian life gets hard work, because that's not how God wants us to feel, because He wants to come to us and He wants to let His life bubble up. You know, I didn't do it this morning in their shower, but often when I go in the shower in the morning, I sing one... Did I? I sing one song. I'm perhaps sing a few songs, but there's one song I always sing. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Fill me anew. Spirit of the Lord, fall afresh on me. I sing that every morning in the shower when I'm at home. I might have sung it this morning because it's a bit of a habit. But what I want to remind myself is, day by day, I need the life of the Holy Spirit to bubble up inside of me, to tell me I'm a real Christian. I'm God's son. I don't need to struggle and strive to live this life. I need to sort of relax into it. Amen? That's what was happening in the New Testament. I don't know what's happening to my notes, but that's what was happening in the New Testament. Power. It's a whole new age of baptism in the Holy Spirit. It was a new age of power as well. Jesus comes and He starts to heal people, to see people delivered from demonic bondage. He says, if I, by the Spirit of God, or by the finger of God, cast out demons amongst you, then understand the kingdom's here. It's here. Power of the Holy Spirit is here. New age of the Holy Spirit is here. It's here. And I think one of the things that God wants us to do is not sort of look forward so much to Jesus coming again, but look around at Jesus who is here, and the kingdom that's here, and the power of the Holy Spirit that's here. So there's a sense of the power of God that was available. And it's available in the Holy Spirit. And one of the things God wants us to do is to tap into that power. Sense of the kingdom being around. In Luke, we read about the birth of Jesus and all the activity of the Holy Spirit that launched Jesus' ministry. In the Acts of the Apostles, we read about a new baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is for the whole church, which starts a whole new ministry of the church. Right, there's a design to these books of Luke and Acts. And these ministries are launched by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit coming upon His people with power. By the Holy Spirit coming on Jesus in power. That's what God wants us to live in. Not effort, but the power of the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit. That we understand He's here and He's in us. Amen.
Just to make one comment in whatever you have said, some of us who have been exposed to Pentecostal type of so-called baptism of the Spirit, we tend to become very intense when we are waiting on the Lord for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We become extremely serious, and that itself becomes a hindrance from receiving the Holy Spirit. But you just now said, which was so beautiful, that if you are relaxed, if, like you described the pub scene, people coming out, as you come before the Lord in a relaxed way, the Spirit of God comes upon you. Spending time in the presence of God, that allows the Spirit to come down upon you. But there need not be that intensity and tarrying meetings and, you know, getting too hyped up, because that itself becomes a blockage. If you are relaxed, we will experience the baptism of the Spirit, or for that matter, some of the spiritual gifts in that sense.
Amen. I'm trying to be sensitive to the Spirit here. Charles, can you come back on the keyboard? And see, I just feel that God wants to refresh us again. Amen?
Yes.
So let's relax. Don't stand up. Stay seated. Right? Just relax. Okay? And let's just ask God to come and to visit us again. Because I think He wants to refresh us. He wants us to understand it's not about our effort, it's about Him working in us and the ministry of Christ and the Holy Spirit right inside of us. It's the bubbling up life of God. Amen. Lord Jesus, You said, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to Me and drink. And today, above everything else, we want to drink of You. We want to let Your life bubble up inside of us. Now, Holy Spirit of God, I want to ask You just to come and to brood here. Lord, just as You came at the beginning of creation, You breathed over the chaos, You brooded over the chaos, and You brought life and shape. Lord, I want to pray You'd come here by Your Holy Spirit, and You'd just breathe into us. I want to pray that one after another would start to feel the life of God bubbling up, where maybe people are a bit empty, or people are in self-effort. Lord, it's not bad. It's not a bad thing to want to work hard for You, but sometimes our well just runs dry. And I pray that where wells are dry, You'd cause Your life to spring up again. Kesi korona mandandora basandora namandora basaza. Sori robosinde robosanda. Oshi kandora namasandara basandara baisa. Holi la basandora namababa. Ori rabasandora bababa. Holi la bababa rona masandora. I ask You, Lord, just to pour out Your Holy Spirit now, to pour out on one and another Your Holy Spirit, and baptize us afresh, drench us afresh, fill us afresh, fill us, Lord God, fill us, Lord. Holy Labasa.
Ole la ra 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 basando ra na masando ra ba ba bu ba ra na ba 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 ba. Ole la basando ra ba 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 ba. O shikando ra na masando ra na ba 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 ba.
Primarily spiritual people. We long to be people of your spirit day by day. Lord, we ask that you just open fresh springs, Lord. Fresh springs. Lord, we do pray that the springs would spring up again to eternal life. Thank you, Lord. Suki la basa. Holy la basa. Shakupikandanda la basa. Sola la basa. Thank you, Lord, that this gift is for everyone. Lord, it's not for special favored individuals. not just for leaders in the church, it's for everyone. Lord, this whole new age of the Holy Spirit, you poured out the Spirit for every single one of us to drink.
Yes, Lord.
Pray that everyone here will drink today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, that even as we look at it, Lord, it glitters, it glows, Lord, it shines forth, Lord. There is life, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask you, Lord, that, Lord, you will settle down on us, Lord. That, Lord, we will shine forth, Lord. Bubble forth, Lord Jesus. Remain fresh, alive, living, Lord Jesus. Growing, blossoming, Lord. Drenched, Lord, with the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. That each day, Lord, Lord, you will breathe into us, Lord, fresh. We ask you, Lord, come, Lord. Lord, breathe on us, Lord Jesus. That will be drenched by the Holy Spirit, Lord. Life will bubble forth, Lord, through us, Lord. We bless you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I wonder if there's anyone here who just feels their well's dried up. That you know that what we've been talking about is true, and you have touched the life of the Spirit before, but you just feel your well's dried up. We'd be happy to pray with you if that's where you're at. This morning, is there anybody who feels like that? Why don't you come out and let's just pray for you, because we need to unblock wells.